I invite you to stand now as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel lesson, which comes from the gospel according to Matthew, reading from the fourth chapter. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As Jesus went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we thank you for the gift of this Sabbath day that you've called us together so that we might worship you, to hear your word and for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask, O Lord, that you would be present now in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. As some of you know, we are in the beginning of a church-wide conversation based on the book God's Chisel. There are still opportunities, of course, for you to join this study if you feel so moved. It's a study that was written by Eddie James and Tommy Woodward, who are known as the Skit Guys. And it came about, the book came about, after they had produced a skit that was by the same name, God's Chisel. It's interesting how the idea of God's Chisel came about. It was a Saturday afternoon, and it was necessary for them to have a skit available for the Saturday night worship. And as sometimes happens with folks who have a part in worship, they weren't quite ready. And that afternoon, as Tommy left his home, as he got into his car in the garage, he saw his hammer and his chisel sitting on his workbench. And he thought, that's it. I feel hammered. I feel under the gun. I feel pressure. Maybe there's a skit around here with something about God's hammer and God's chisel. And so they quickly threw together this skit that through the years they continued to fine-tune. But the premise of the skit is that there is a lot. There is much in our lives that God needs to chisel away to get to the intended person that God created. There's baggage that we carry. There's layers of pieces of us that if we would invite God, God would chisel away to get to the true masterpiece that God has created into each one of us. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, says, "We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works." We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, that word workmanship in the Greek is poiema, which is where we get our English word poem. So we are all God's poem. We are all God's masterpiece. God has created each one of us uniquely to be the special person that he intends. In the book, they talk about that God makes no junk. God makes no junk. We are who God wants us to be. Unfortunately, there is so much around us that is not of God that God needs to remove. It's a constant process. God is continually working on us to remove those layers, to remove those extra pieces, to get to that masterpiece that God longs for each of us to be. God doesn't finish that work. There is no stopping place on that journey. God continues to help us to be a work in progress each and every day. Even on those ordinary days when we think God isn't doing anything, God is still working on us to be the best we possibly can be, to be that masterpiece. Because God is never finished with us. We truly are a constant work in progress. God loves us too much to leave us where we are today. God longs for us to be better, to be more, to be his masterpiece. God, in this skit, uses a hammer and a chisel to gradually chip away what keeps us from being wholly what God intends. And then after that, there's even more fine-tuning to do. God uses that sandpaper to smooth away the rough edges in our lives. Don't we all have a couple of rough edges that God could smooth away? We surely do. I'm always reminded of that passage from Isaiah. If you don't like the image of God using a chisel and a hammer, then there's always this image that God is the divine potter and we are the clay. That God is constantly molding us into what God wants, and we are all the work of God's hand. Whenever I think about the image of a divine chisel, I can't help but think about God creating on those two tablets of stone our Ten Commandments. Now, in one scripture, it'll say that God used his finger in the stone to chisel out those ten laws. But I imagine God using a hammer and a chisel to carefully create those ten laws, those Ten Commandments that the people of Israel and even us today are called to live by. He chiseled those words in stone to be the standard for the Israelites, to be the way that they were to live, so that they would love God and love their neighbors. God said that if you follow these laws, things will be good for you. And if you follow these laws, you will be my unique people. You will be a people after my own heart. Of course, we know that the Israelites, and for us, sometimes it's very difficult to live by those ten laws. And so one of the first things that God used his hammer and his chisel on was a sin of disobedience. For the Israelites quickly broke those Ten Commandments. And God needed to chisel away that sin of disobedience to get back to the faithful person, the faithful people that we know of as the Israelites. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, but I never broke one of the Big Ten. I never broke one of those laws. There's nothing in me to chisel away. Maybe not. But what about those little lies that you tell when you think nobody will catch you? And what about that word of gossip that you've shared at the expense of another person? What about those times that you've been jealous of what someone else has or someone else's success? Or what about those times that you've made that sexist or that racist joke, or you've laughed at someone else's comment? God needs to chisel away those moments of disobedience as well. Now, maybe you're not guilty of any of those, but what about grudges you've held? Or those quick judgments you have made about other people? What about the negative attitude that you bring to work or bring to church? What about the harsh words that belittle someone else? Or what about that arrogant attitude that strives to set you above another one of God's children? God's hammer and chisel seeks to chip all of that away too. You still don't think there's anything that you need to have chiseled away? Well, what about your lack of faith, or your failure to love, or your inability to trust, your worries, your fears, your anxieties, all those protective layers that keep the real you locked in stone? God wants to chisel all those away too. God is constantly needing to chisel away all those things that separate us from God. Can you see now why God is never, ever finished with us? God constantly needs to chisel away those things that keep us from being the masterpiece God intends. In the scripture lesson, in the gospel lesson this morning, Jesus calls his first disciples, his first students. And you have to wonder why those were the first ones he called. What was it about those simple fishermen? They weren't the most educated. They weren't the most successful. They looked a little seedy. What was it in them that called Jesus to call them first? Perhaps Jesus saw their potential. Perhaps Jesus knew their heart. Perhaps Jesus knew that when he finished with them, when he chiseled away all those things that were the outside appearance, what would be left would be folks who would be able to witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. It probably took a lot of chiseling to get those four fishermen to be the apostles that they were after the resurrection, after Pentecost. But Jesus, with the work of the Holy Spirit, chiseled away on those four disciples to turn them into apostles, people sent to witness to the good news. On the other hand, we have Paul. Paul had all the credentials. He had the perfect pedigree. He was educated. He knew the law. He was zealous for the righteousness of the law. But he didn't know Christ. He didn't know Christ. Now, God didn't use a hammer and chisel on Paul, but he did use the brilliance of Christ to blind Saul on that road to Damascus. And in that moment when the blindness left him, when the scales fell off, he was a new creature. God had taken away the baggage of his past, all that had defined him, and now all that mattered to him was the power of Christ and the good news of the resurrection. We hear that change in him when he goes from Saul to Paul. Truly, God had changed that man. And what was his past no longer mattered. It was all chiseled away, chipped away. It wasn't about being zealous for the law. It was now about being zealous for Christ to share the good news. It wasn't about his credentials. It wasn't about his pedigree. It was about being humble. It was about being servant. He even says that his past, he all counts as loss. He counts it as lost to having the surpassing value now of knowing Christ. Sometimes there's things in our past that God needs to chisel away, and we need to invite God to chisel away those things that keep us stuck, that keep us in a place where we are not willing or able to move forward. Saul never would have become Paul if God had not intervened. Saul did not seek out Jesus. Jesus found him. And once Jesus found him and grabbed a hold of him, everything changed. In order for God to chisel away things in our lives, even our past, we have to invite Christ in. We have to ask Christ to do that for us so that we might be the masterpiece that God intends. This week, I read a quote by the author Zayn Malik. And I think this fits Paul and perhaps fits us as well. There comes a day when you realize turning the page is the best feeling in the world because you realize there is so much more to the book than the page you were stuck on. There's so much more to the book than the page you were stuck on. Too many of us are stuck in the past or stuck in what we assume has defined us. Where God wants to chisel all that away and wants us to turn the page so that we can have that new relationship, not only to be the masterpiece that God intends, but so that we can have the mind of Christ, so that we can witness to that good news, so that we can live a life of faith, a life of love, a life of grace. The book is really about how we as individuals can invite God in to chisel away all those things that separate us from God. But this week I was thinking about how could we expand that thinking to think about our congregation, our community, and our nation. Aren't there things in our communal life that God needs to chisel away? Aren't there things we could invite God to chip away at so that we could be the people of faith? Couldn't God chip away at our animosities and our mistrust so that we could have unity? Couldn't God chip away the hardness of people's hearts so that we could make room, so God could make room for love and grace? Couldn't God chip away our warring madness, the warring madness that leads to things like the atrocities in Las Vegas this past week? Couldn't God chisel away all those things that keep us from truly valuing the sanctity of human life? Couldn't God return us to a faithful nation, a faithful people, a nation that puts God first and love of neighbors just right up there with love of God? Couldn't God do that if he chiseled away all the other baggage, all the other nonsense, all the stuff that keeps us from being what God intended? Truly, not only did God create each of us to be a masterpiece, he created the world to be his masterpiece, which means all people. All of us, this nation, and around the world. Aren't there things that we could ask God to chisel away from our collective life so that we could be the masterpiece God intends? Couldn't we invite God to just chip away at all those things so that we might be wholly his? May it be so. Amen. This morning, before our pastoral prayer, I'd like to read some pieces of a letter that Bishop Park sent us this week in regards to the killing in Las Vegas. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, grace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace, healer of our brokenness and hope of the world. Evil demonstrated its killing force in the most dreadful way yet again, only in a larger and unprecedented scale this time. A place of fun and enjoyment instantly turned into a zone of the most horrific carnage. The mass killing in Las Vegas is one of the largest recorded in U.S. history. Our broken hearts, thoughts, and prayers go to the families and friends of the victims and to their communities for comfort, strength, and healing. I invite and encourage you individually and collectively as a church to pray for the people who have been traumatized by this event. Pray for the victims who are still hospitalized and the doctors and medical personnel who treat them. He goes on to say, I know that we find God present in this moment. We have heard the stories of the police officers, emergency medical personnel, and the concert goers who put the needs and safety of others above their own. Hundreds of people stood in line almost immediately and remained for hours waiting to donate blood. These acts of caring people bring me much hope and are a sign of the ultimate goodness of humanity. He closes by saying, we must as a people begin to do the courageous things that will be required to reduce hatred, increase the tolerance capacity of others whose views are different, and learn to see one another as children of the holy God we worship and love. And prayerfully in Christ, Jeremiah J. Park. And let us pray. A holy and loving God, we come to you this day and we pray that you would truly be present in our midst. We ask, O Lord, that as we invite you in, that we would also be open to your act of chiseling away those things that keep us from fully being the children that you intend us to be. We ask, O Lord, this day that you would be with all of your children around the world. We pray especially this morning for those who have lost loved ones in Las Vegas. We continue to pray for those who are hospitalized. We pray for the first responders. We pray, O Lord, for all those who have been so negatively impacted by this, who now have fear and anxiety about each and every day. We know, O Lord, that fear is not something that you would want us to have. You would want us to live with strength and with hope. And so we ask that now for your children who live such fearful lives. Here, O Lord, closer to home, we ask that you would be with those who have fear because of health concerns. We pray that you would be with those who are recuperating from surgery, those who are facing surgery. We pray, O Lord, that you would be with those who are battling disease and illness, those who are undergoing treatments and therapies. We pray, O Lord, that your healing embrace would hold them close. We continue to pray, O Lord, for medical staff that cares for them, that you would give them your gift of healing. And we pray as well for family members and caregivers, that you would strengthen them for the needs of this day. We ask, O Lord, that you would be with those who mourn. We pray that you would provide your comfort and your peace that is beyond anything that we could offer. And we pray that you would surround all those who walk through the valley of death, that you would hold them close, that they would know your peace and your presence. O Holy God, this day as we come to you, we pray that we would be open to hear your will for us, to hear your word, that we would be open to your actions that would help to relieve us of the baggage and cut through the layers of all that separates us from you. May we truly seek your will and your wisdom as we walk through these days. We ask all this in your Son's most holy name. Amen.